Hey, you know, everybody's talking about the good old days, right? Yeah. Everybody, the good old days, the good old days.
Good old days.
Well, let's talk about the good old days.
Let's talk about them shit tonight.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats. We are all over the place. We're not in the studio this week. It's okay. We're happy to bring it to you. We've got a fantastic guest, our buddy Dave Damashek, who does so much great work with the NFL Network. His own podcasts are so good. He's just a unique voice, someone that we've gravitated towards when we worked for several years in the NFL Network. He's just one of our favorite people. I'm so glad that we got to know him there, and our relationship has continued on. We'll talk about sort of fallout from the draft, how is Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do in the post-Roethlisberger era, and so much more. Well, you know, there's a lot to explore in the NFL. There are just weird, like, where's Baker Mayfield going to go? And like, what is the, you know, the Tom Brady to Miami fallout? We'll talk about all that stuff, but at the top of the show, and then later on the show, we have a great voicemail, but at the top of the show, we've had a month of baseball so far, Jay, approximately, after the weird-ass strike, which was not strike, but the lockout, which made it seem like we weren't going to get a full season in, and then we got a full season in.
That's right.
That was definitely drama leading up to it. That
so part of me feels like complaining about anything at all in light of all that is a little bit of like...
We should just be happy that we have baseball.
Shut up and enjoy it. Yeah, yeah.
So baseball, though, I think was... sort of upset over the last few years, or they were getting some negative feedback that home runs were just flying out of the yard, which, you know, I think what creeps in, Jay, and tell me if you agree or disagree, is the sanctity of the stats. Because I don't know anyone that is there other than pure San Francisco Giant baseball fans who think that, you know, Barry Bonds, for some reason, they're willing to look the other way at his gigantic head and all the steroids that he used to get where he got. Still a great player, Jay and I have always said he was a first ballot, 99%. He would have been Griffey Jr. in the National League. Let's put Griffey on Jr. on the Seattle Mariners for most of all of his career. Forget about the Cincinnati years. But I'm saying he would have been that in the National League with the Pirates, with the Giants. That's who he would have been. 500 home runs, 500 stolen bases, 3,000 hits, one of the best defensive outfielders, and just a guy who went in and went down as like one of the greats and one of the two greatest, like the counterpart to Griffey Jr. In the National League. He would have done that. But he got greedy when he saw McGuire and Sosa, who were doing it wrong. And so I think people look at his home run total and they say to themselves, well, that's not it. That it's still Hank Aaron. It's not that. And I'm sure we can go back and look at greenies and look at whatever pills they were popping, amphetamines and stuff they were popping to stay focused and whatnot. We can take a deep dive in all that stuff. But I think the sanctity of the numbers and the records are the thing that is why baseball was like, wait, we got to unwind some of the spools on the ball so that it doesn't travel as far. They were like, they wanted balls to travel a little less far. So that means that the one that just clears the wall is just going to make it to the warning track. And the one that, you know, makes it the warning track is not even going to come close. And you're not going to see balls carry as much. And they're using the humidor. I don't even know how the humidor works, Jay. I know that, like, you put it in there with cigars and then you smoke the cigars on the balls. I don't even know. All I know
I think
is
what they've done is gone too far in the other direction. So now we're like drifting into dead ball era. We already know. Baseball, like, the shift is causing people to get base hits that are going into people's gloves because they've shifted over into the position where that would normally be a base hit. So batting averages are lower. They were lower in the month of April than
They've gone down the last 4 years.
Dude, the league average is .231. That is, as a fan, a casual fan coming to the game, do we want to see lineouts into the shift? Do we want to see groundouts into short right field? Do we want to see? No, you want to see home runs. You want to see scoring. You want to see excitement. Baseball's already, the knock on baseball is that it takes a long time to play and there's breaks and there's not a lot of this. There's not a lot of that. It's like, yeah, if you want to keep the game exciting, then deadening the ball, I don't think is the answer. I think the answer is, you know, like we watch some of these minor league games where there's like fun and it seems like they're lighting bats on fire and they're having a good time. That feels like that's not necessarily that Major League Baseball has to go in that crazy direction, but like they need to embrace, I think, the scoring and the fun and the excitement. And if there's a ways to do it to where everybody has a crack at that, you know, you got to offset the shift and what the shift has done to batting averages?
I think the shift is terrible. I also think, like, the way guys are swinging, you can hit 213 in a year, but if you get 31 dingers, you're still going to get a great contract the next year because your home run production was up. But now you're seeing the ball deaden. The ball is like traveling 5 less feet than it did the year before. I think they were wanting like 1 foot or 2 feet, but it's now traveling 5 less on average.
You went too far. You went too far. What are you doing?
The regular fan is looking at this and saying, I'm not seeing as much production. I'm not seeing as much run production. Now, the good news is that it may force teams to get more creative with the way they play, i.e., we've said this all the time, if they're shifting on you, bunt it down the third base line. Bunt it past the pitcher down the third base line and you get on base. Manufacture runs. Maybe base stealing comes back. You got to sort of, I feel like a lot of catchers are not even practicing throwing out runners because there's no... It's why would you throw yourself out if the next guy up to bat can hit you in? You're kind of taking away an opportunity for a run to come in. But if balls aren't flying out, maybe it's forcing other teams. And I think that that's a positive outcome of deadening the ball a little bit, is forcing teams to get more creative, because we grew up on Whitey Herzog and the St. Louis Cardinals and that type of ball where you slap a infield hit, steal second, steal third, and then manufacture a run to get the guy home. That could win a game. Now, and also I think pitching is so much better and everyone's throwing 100 miles an hour and guys are throwing their arms out that it's a lot more difficult for hitters to hit. But I can say this as a Cardinals fan, there have been a few games this year where, you know, they're down one run or two runs in the sixth inning and I'm like, no one's going to bring them back. They're not going to get one swing to bring them back. That's just not going to happen. You just feel like two runs feels like 10 runs. Like,
I'm not joking. I think Paul Goldschmidt has one home run.
He's got two home runs and 11 RBIs, which is crazy for a guy. I mean, he's 34. He's kind of on the backside of that, of his career a little
bit.
But still, he should not have two home runs after 1 month. And that's saying something. It just is. Like, guys who would normally be at like 5, 4, 5, 6 home runs, even Nolan Arenado, who's crushing the ball, has 7 home runs. You know, overall, and you say to yourself, the batting averages in the National League should be better because they added the DH. The pitchers aren't hitting. Pitchers last year hit a collective 110. I'm looking at guys' averages on the Cardinals and, you know, one guy's hitting 187. Another guy is hitting 162. These are starters in your lineup. To me, it's really the lack of offense. It's bad for baseball. So they need to figure this out. And I know we're sitting here saying at least we have baseball and it's not like there's a strike and whatnot and beggars can't be choosers and whatnot. But I think they're going to start to lose more casual fans if they don't figure it out. Again, home runs are not bad for the game. I know there's the historical significance of, but you're not going to, I bet the home run leader this year won't even hit 40 home runs if they continue this way with the ball.
Agreed.
Anyway, got to be fixed. We'll monitor it. This is like a month into the season, but baseball started out weird and it has continued to be weird. I mean, we should be talking about how both New York teams are on fire. You have an opportunity to, like, on a collision course for another Subway Series, potentially. It's always good when the New York teams are good, but the Mets are amazing and the Yankees are playing really well. We should be talking about that stuff. We should be talking about Shohei Ohtani, who apparently he's gotten even better this year than last year.
San Diego's good, as we expected them to be good. I mean, yeah, it's fun. That's what we should be talking about, not that no one can hit the ball out of the ballpark. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, one of the best sports minds and hilarious dudes
in the game today, Dave Damashek, joins us on View from the Cheap Seats. Don't go anywhere. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. As promised, our good friend, a great voice in the world of sports and life and in comedy. He's one of the few people that synthesizes great takes in a comedic way about the sports world, and that's why we love him. Also, he's a great guy. Dave Damashek, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Grading, I think people would
say. Grading, both,
but
yes.
Either way, I appreciate the kind words from two of the trailblazers in doing exactly what very few people do. I won't include myself in that.
No, you're in there.
You guys have.
You're in there. And so let's jump right the hell into it and talk about just post. What are you feeling? We'll start as your Pittsburgh Steelers fandom as it comes through. But, like, what are you feeling about this draft? who do you think made off like bandits, and like was any, what surprised you that like guys that fell, people who took guys too early? What were some of your highlights and I guess lowlights of the draft?
Well, I love that Bill Belichick continues to think he's smarter than the rest of every human being.
He is. Just ask him.
Are we sure, though?
Like, I don't know.
The Mac Jones thing kind of worked out last year, but not exactly. And I think you could make a case that they're tracking towards last place. And so the surname of his first round pick was seemed right on.
Yeah,
cool, strange. Strange, yes. Indeed. That was a weird one. You know, I think my favorite thing is draft grades. Yeah. So we listen for 4 months to people tell you who they think is going to be good. And then the teams that draft those players that they like get good draft grades. Huh? I didn't see this one coming. Bizarre.
That doesn't track, Dave. Yeah, that doesn't track.
Self-validation. One of the weirdest things. That's even weirder than the whole draft process.
Right.
And we hang on. What does the draft expert think about this? Well, he's only right about half the time, and yet we hang on his word as though it's solid gold. But anyway.
Half the time is like generous, by the way, too. But I like that notion of, is Bill Belichick smart? Like, how much of it was his genius and how much of it was Tom Brady's brilliance? It's kind of like, is Brad Pitt a good actor? Or is he just the best looking dude on the planet? Like, I don't know at this point how much of it is that, how much of it is
the other. It's a little bit of both, but I think when you were saying Matt Jones kind of worked, I'm like, is Matt Jones better than Matt Castle? Can we have that argument? Can we put that out there?
And Rand, are you calling him Matt Jones or Mac Jones?
Mac.
Okay, thank you.
Either one. Because I'll tell you what, I don't know. I'm skeptical that this guy is definitely – we thought – I think collectively, maybe around October or November, oh my God, they did it. They just rolled over from Tom Brady to a slightly less handsome Tom Brady.
That's
same
right.
Athletic ability, and now we're going to be tortured for another 15 or 20 years by this guy. Now I don't know.
We don't know, and it is, as we've seen, a quarterback-driven league where there are so many superstar quarterbacks where, like, I mean, a guy, I throw money in the bank on Justin Herbert that his career will end with some hardware. And I just think he's that good. He, to me, is West Coast Josh Allen. And I just feel like Josh Allen's another one. And of
course,
good
description, right?
Of course, Patrick Mahomes. Of course, you know.
Wait, could Josh Allen get Buffalo over the hump? I mean, is that possible?
Maybe that would be the biggest thing. That'd be like LeBron winning a championship for Cleveland, right?
Have we really absorbed what is at stake here for these Bills fans? What if they really did win the Super Bowl? That would be grand stuff. The perfect foe for them in the Super Bowl would be the Minnesota Vikings, because they also have the over forever against. Yeah. Although then one fan base would go home even sadder. It's like the Cubs, Red
Cubs
Sox.
Cubs Cleveland. You remember?
Cubs
Indians?
Yeah, when they were, but 2003, it really was starting to look like before.
Cubs Red Sox, yeah.
We were going to get that. And it was like, this is going to be great, except for the team that loses. Because then that's going to be the all-time saddest thing ever, that to lose to the team that can't win. You know?
Yeah, right. Right.
There's another, like a franchise, because then you're not just losing, but like a franchise gets out of their woes. It's like a whole other side. It's like the mayoral side bet, you know, like where they bet a case of beer. You got to drink a case of our beer. It's like,
I think the mayoral side bet for Super Bowls has to get bumped up like a lot. Like,
yes,
you get a night with my wife and like that.
Or you whatever get, happens.
Whatever happens, I'm not allowed to ask about it. It's it. Now you're rooting. Now you're like, well, how's this game going to turn out? Because we got an indecent proposal on the table
here.
Prima notte, or whatever they call that. prima nocte, or whatever it is that gets Braveheart very upset.
Very.
In the first act there. Really launches a whole. You should watch that movie if you haven't seen it.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm fascinated by exactly what you're talking about. I don't like the cutesy, like, we'll give you some burnt ends if you give us some bad chili.
Don't like it.
That's not it. Like, first of all, from your own pocket, let's go like $80,000.
I agree.
You know? Something like, by the way, as a side note, this thing with, we talk about quarterbacks, now they've done away with this foursome, this match play thing that formerly had like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Now it's just four NFL QBs, none of whom has a personality. When Tom Brady is the best personality out of the foursome, I wouldn't call it must watch. You know how you change it though? Everybody has to pony up $5 million of their own loot. That would be good.
Now you're sitting over a putt, and who's got the yips on nine as he's just measuring up a putt, which, like, it's like it doesn't matter. Golf is so – like, football is a precise sport. We've talked about this before. The best quarterbacks are the ones who can fit it into a tight square, and that's what it is. Golf is, like, so much more precise. You can do everything right. Three shots up on the green, I'm literally – putting for an eagle and you're so close and just one, you just biff it. Like, just even pros screw it up.
Man, wait, I love that you said three shots on the green putting for an eagle on a par six.
Putting for a bird. Bird.
Let him play his game.
All right.
Don't get in his way. You don't make the rules.
I called
him
Matt Jones and I said yours a par six. I don't know what I'm doing today. I'm just so happy that Dave is here. Well, so
You're right though. Let's boost these mayoral bets though. That's the thing.
Those up.
Like, but bring the whole city into it. Make it like we are going to take that day's total amount of all civil employees, the money they make goes to your city instead.
There you go.
Now everybody's invested. Everybody in town.
You raise the living wage of people in that city if you like. That would be amazing. And it's courtesy of the other city.
That's
also
right.
Do you know
how much an arena full of people who could care less about a game freak out if they do the two missed free throws in a row and then you get free Chick-fil-A? Do you understand?
Like, or like if the Cardinals score six runs, you get a free drink at like Quick Trip the next day, and like people lose their mind.
I would never get a drink at Quick Trip. Now that I know that it's on the line and we got a runner in scoring position, we got five runs.
I'll get one.
Let's go. Wave them home.
Raising the stakes. The whole town is invested. And I like then the track that specifically my favorite pro football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, took.
Sure.
They took the local kid. I mean, he's from Jersey, but went to Pitt. Yeah. His reward for bringing Pitt football back to relevance was to get to walk across the hallway and put on the pro jersey for Pittsburgh.
Sure.
And I love it. And I think that kind of civic pride would really be boosted if you could only take guys from your region. Wouldn't that be fun? I don't know how many hockey fans you have, but the original six, one of my favorite thing about it's so funny. We need a 30 for 30, or maybe the three of us can work this out. We'll make a documentary.
15 for 15, sure.
Okay, yeah, something. Yeah, we'll work. We'll work on it,
we'll
Matt
figure
Jones.
That out.
But either way, the original six went on for a quarter century.
Yep.
Six teams. You only played five teams the whole season. And then you wonder, why did the Canadians win the vast majority of those? You may not know that you had negotiating rights with guys who lived within a 50-mile radius of city center.
The best players.
Why the Rangers never won the Stanley Cup, because who was playing hockey in 1958 in New York City? Toronto, Detroit, right there on the Canadian border. These are the teams that won the Cup.
Windsor, you get the best players from Windsor if you're in Detroit.
Let's do that with all our sports and start it with pro football.
So let's talk about Pickett. Let's talk about this kid. Was there a little bit of like, I feel like anytime the Steelers get a kid from Pitt or from that, there's like a little bit of like, we should have got Marino. Like, this is making up for the fact that we didn't get. Like, I feel like if the Steelers had Dan Marino.
Oh, my God.
They would have won. I mean,
there would have been Bradshaw into Marino into like 12 Super Bowls.
Maybe, but I'm just saying, like, is there a little like we're sort of getting him? We're getting back a little bit of what we lost in not getting Marino.
Well, I don't know if Kevin Colbert, the general manager, but he is from Pittsburgh and he is of an age that would allow him to. It does fit comfortably that he surely remembers that.
Sure.
My old man was the Pitt doctor.
Yeah.
When I was growing up. Yeah.
Really?
And so, we would go. I remember there's a picture of me as a very little kid sitting on his knee, 18-year-old with a gigantic afro, Dan Marino sitting
this
on
is
his
you
knee.
As a, this is you as an 18-year-old with a gigantic afro sitting on Marino's knee.
That's
oh,
right.
No, it's Marino.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. No,
Did
I
he
think
buy
we're
you?
Getting, Is that Madison Cawthorn's life history? I don't remember. he sat on. But either way, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who they are very conveniently amnesiac about the Dan Marino thing, including my old man, who was taking calls from pro football team because there were whispers about Marino off the field. What's going on? To his credit, he stayed loyal to the to the banks of the Three Rivers in black and gold.
I like it.
And he said, well, I know nothing about what you're talking about. Uh-huh. But he still laments that they didn't take Marino. I'm like, you were there. You know they had Terry Bradshaw and Cliff Stout, who people thought was going to be good, and they took a first-round draft pick in Mark Malone. But listen, it's great. It's I sincerely like it so much.
I like this kid. I like this kid, and I feel like he did it in a big enough league.
And he has hands down the greatest troll move in the history of quarterbacks. The fake slide into 40 more yards of rushing. That highlight got played so many times during the draft. And I'm like,
any kid who dreams,
even if it's illegal, it's like good thinking. I'm like, I like the head on his shoulders. Right.
It's called gamesmanship. But I heard what you said there, hands down. And I know you meant it because that was the buzz about Kenny Pickett. The liability with him is his hands. And then he went into this accelerated period where it was like, you got to grow your right hand, which I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could work your right hand out to make it bigger.
Stretch
and
it.
I was concerned though that he was, you know, going so extreme. I got to do this over a couple of weeks, basically, that he wouldn't take the time to take care of the left hand as well, and then he'd be a physical freak as he goes through life. He just would have a giant right hand and then this little left hand. Like
he looked like Rafa Nadal. You see Rafa Nadal's right arm and his left arm.
No.
Go look at his right arm versus his left arm. His left arm is so much more developed than his right arm. You're like,
that's where he's, you know,
that's his power source.
I guess all bowlers should be that way too, right? They must have gigantic forearms on
You know the guy who does the Capital One commercials now? He's like a tall white dude, nondescript, in a very fitted suit.
Like the Capital One banking. Like he's banking, like he's this like, is this how is, banking should
this
be.
This is banking reimagined, whatever. The next time that commercial comes on, he looks like Dustin Johnson if Dustin Johnson were slightly
more positive,
slightly less wear down by all of Paulina Gretzky's antics, you know, like just that. Look at this guy's hands. Go find it online. His hands are.
He could palm a medicine ball.
He could palm a medicine ball, crab soccer ball.
Transplant. What I mean, where are we? It's the 21st century already. Look, Kenny Pickett's got everything but a suitable right hand. Let's
literally
fix that thing up.
Give him my hand, Capital One. What's in your wallet? The Capital One guy's hand. Stick it in my wallet. All right. So you think
Pickett's a good pick?
Does he start right away? Do they just are they like, let's work him in?
Do they Joe Burrow him in there and be like, let's go
just
2 years from now
a little bit?
As we sit here in May, it's we always indulge this thought like, this is great. You're going to be able to redshirt this kid at the NFL level and let him learn at the knee of the vet.
Right.
And it happens almost never. I mean, you know, there are a couple of noteworthy exceptions, you know, except Aaron Rodgers did it behind Favre and that worked out. And Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for a year. But for the most part, if you use a first round pick on a guy, you got to get him in there. And it's a weird conversation about, you know, he's 24. You can't wait. There's not a moment to spare. It's like, well, if he plays for a dozen years and he succeeds, like he'd be 36. I think it'd be all right. I'm not worried about that part of it. As somebody who has provincial pride, you may have noticed. Dude, I love it, dude. I love Pittsburgh. It. Danny Marino.
Have a Yingling. Grab a Yingling and tell us all
dude,
about
I
it.
I love Danny Marino.
Dude, Marino, this dude. Have you seen him against the Brownies? They're chasing him around. They're trying to get him down on the ground. Dude, he just shoved the one dude off. Then he threw it to the end zone. Touchdown. He just won it. He just won it over there. Touchdown, dude.
I say winged. All right.
So
hilarious.
So you're a regional guy.
I would prefer it work out and be gangbusters and be a story for all of time. I appreciate sincerely that they took the shot at that because it's that much sweeter if the Pitt kid is at the trigger and it works out. And if it doesn't, the notion that we've convinced ourselves of, if Cliff Kingsbury doesn't make it in pro football and has very little legacy 25 years from now, the one thing he did do was erase what people said forever what you couldn't do, which was the year after the Arizona Cardinals used the 10th overall pick on a quarterback, the next year they used another first-round pick to Kyler Murray. You'll have difference if this is a bust of a pick 2 years from now, you fix it. That's all.
Yeah.
I absolutely think that. And if it's a bust of a pick and it brings your team down, guess what? You're going to get a better pick next year. That's just the way it goes. And as long as you're an organization that isn't the Detroit Lions, who finally got it right this year, but who for years and years and years didn't get it right when they're just being handed number one picks and number two in the overall in the draft, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers do it right. They're a good organization. They make correct decisions. It's why they're able to survive down years. It's why they're able to survive transitions. And so, all right, so they made a bold pick. We'll see what happens. This is your team. Who did well? I actually think the Detroit Lions had a really good draft. Getting Jameson Williams, that was awesome. Getting Aiden Hutchinson, that is amazing. You know what's interesting to me is that...
Well, you guys must love that. I mean, it's so cool, unless you're a Spartans fan. That, you know, if you're in the state of Michigan, how fun is that? That now... a linchpin potentially for your long-suffering pro football team now, you know, could get turned around by this guy who just went 45 minutes away.
But does it matter? I look at Draymond Green, and if you're a Michigan fan in the Bay Area, you hated Draymond Green as a Michigan State guy. You hated him. Then he gets and he plays on your team, and you love the guy because you're like, he's my guy. And then Jordan Poole from Michigan comes and plays on the – you think those guys give a shit about, like, them being who they are? They care about each other when those teams play each other, and maybe they're a little angry with each other. But, like, Draymond loves Jordan Poole because Jordan Poole took a lot of pressure off Draymond this year. And he stepped up and it's like, Draymond doesn't have to score as much anymore. He can be that defensive guy. He can get thrown out of the game in the middle of the game and it doesn't matter. It's like that. So I'm saying that I think those people will, if you're a Lions fan, because you were born into it, because no one
You let it go. Well, I know it for a fact because as a wee child, I cheered for Franco Harris and Jack Ham from Penn State, and that was a sin in my home if you rooted for anything Joe Paterno related.
That's right. But
the reason that we were told that we were wrong to be that way was because he was a class act who was good for college football and. Right. Time has taught me that I was wrong in that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's what you didn't know. It's what you didn't see. Did you think it weird that a guy like N'Kobe Dean kept falling and falling and falling because of just, isn't that these things about the draft are weird to me. Like, so he had a pectoral thing, like whatever, he's going to come back. This dude was like the most impressive, like
dominant.
Linebacker. This is a guy that, in my opinion, changes your defense and is just plays angry and is one of the he's probably the best guy on that Georgia defense that put 5 first round picks in. Next year, they're projected to have another 3 first round picks. So essentially, on that defense that won the national championship this year, 8 first round defensive picks. That's insane.
I agree. But are the Sklar brothers then, you guys are really taking this beyond it because Georgia beat your Wolverines. So now, like I always say, I don't understand rooting for the team that just beat you. Like rooting. The weirdest thing is conference pride. I think that's something that exists in college football mostly more than anywhere else.
Sure.
It doesn't extend to the pro level. Nobody's like, hey, the Bengals are in the Super Bowl. That's great news for the AFC North, isn't it?
No. we want everyone to know that we face the best. We face the.
I know, but you want them to suffer, right? You want them to feel the same pain they just dealt to you.
That's right.
Want them to lose in a historic way.
You want them to suffer and
to fall miserably.
I'm a little cynical though about that with N'Kobe Dean because it's the Matt Leinart syndrome.
Yeah.
Somebody is a passenger on this in this sports car. Who is it? I don't know. I wouldn't use a first round pick to find out.
Yeah,
I would be very nervous about doing that because somebody ain't going to work out there. I am happy that the Steelers got in the second round this George Pickens kid, the wide receiver, the dynamic wide receiver. I think it's neat. I think this is probably tedious to anybody else, but now I've started to say it, so I'm going to finish it. They draft a Georgia wide receiver who wears number one. And it reminded me, I was like, what am I thinking about? There was a guy named Andre Hastings who played in Super Bowl 30. You may remember he broke the wrong way. Neil O'Donnell threw it in the other direction. Larry Brown intercepted and won the Super Bowl MVP and made millions of dollars as a result. But Andre Hastings at Georgia wore number one as well. He was going to Florida State. He was the top recruit in the country. But Florida State, he said, I can wear number one there, right? And they said, we don't know about that. Georgia said, you can definitely wear number one here. He said, all right, I'm going to go to Georgia.
Amazing. Amazing. Who
chose where to go to college.
Based on his shirt number. On
a I love number. That. It's the
that's,
best.
I mean, that tells you you're dealing with college kids. That's an 18-year-old. That's an 18-year-old. That's why you can't rent a car until you're 25 years old. They're like,
for that
know
kind of thing.
Your brain hasn't fully formed. You're going to make a huge decision like that based on
and now they're going to get tons of money in NIL. Now
that should be
get
in the small print. But they should put that in the small print. Why can't you – if you have any questions about why you can't rent a car, until the age of 25, let me tell you the tale.
The Andre Hastings.
No, you're going to – so now NIL money is flying around college campuses, and you're going to have dudes like, hey, man, I just gold-plated my toilet. And it's like, yeah, you're renting that house.
Yeah,
like,
you're renting that house. Bro. There's no need to gold-plate.
Good for you, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
But – you know, I do think there were some teams that really helped themselves out. I mean, again, Cincinnati, if you want to look at that, I know this is going to kill you, but Cincinnati as the model of like, look, man, we changed the status of our team somewhat through the draft. They made some great moves as well. But like, you draft good guys, they come in. Jay and I have always said like that second round skill position draft that you were talking about, the Pickens pick, if you will. Because really, a running back didn't come off the board until the second round this year. It was the Iowa State kid, am I right? So like, you say to yourself, the skill guys that are actually going to score touchdowns for you and actually going to move the ball for you, minus the quarterback who does that, those guys come off the board in the second round. And a lot of times, teams that do well get that second round pick. You're not, you know, the Chiefs aren't picking up in the first 15. The Jets are the ones who are getting like the, you know,
two guys,
the Chris Olave, and then you're getting another guy. But like the Chiefs have the opportunity, the Steelers have the opportunity to get the Pickens in the second round. And I think those kids wind up having a better chance of succeeding early on. They probably do.
And it's, but this bizarre, I don't know what made it come to the fore the way it did. But wide receivers all of a sudden wanting $25 million. You could say it's Devontae Adams. You could say it's Christian Kirk, who left Arizona to go to Jacksonville. Yeah. That's the weird one. He's like, wait, why are you paying Christian Kirk? That kind of looks one thing to do with Tyreek Hill. It's another thing to do with this kid. And so now the market's inflated, which has then caused pro teams to say, you get an extra year of control, of contractual control, if you use if it's a first round pick. So those wide receivers, not coincidentally, then went in the first round. But where Burrow or any other guy is concerned, I love the vacuum in which the analysts operate. If you're watching a Joe Burrow game, like they can't resist, including Al Michaels, even who's as good as it gets. He can't even resist the temptation to say when he's like, this kid's going to win multiple Super Bowls. Is he? Because there are you just ticked off. Randy, you went through at least like five of these high-end quarterbacks who are 25 or younger. They can't all win multiple Super Bowls. They only give out the one Lombardi every year. The math the math just doesn't work, you know?
Like,
so I love those announcements.
It's like people who say they were babysat by the Beastie Boys. You know, like I was in Brooklyn and the Beast, like if they babysat all the people who said that they babysat them, they would have never made any music. They would have just been like a
babysitting machines.
Babysitting machines. That's not what they were.
But that was the Brooklyn version of in Pittsburgh. Dude, I was at the Immaculate Reception, dude.
You were?
But you're 17. How that doesn't even.
800,000 people were there. No.
Oh my God.
So I mean, it is really interesting you say that. Like Aaron Rodgers should have multiple Super Bowls. He's got one,
and yet Eli Manning has two.
Well, that's the thing that's got to make you crazy if you're a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Like you have this limited window, and whether you think it's fair or not, people do look back on your career when they're stacking up the five best or 10 best of all time. They do look how many Lombardis. I like when people argue against that too. Like small sample size. It's too small. Like you can't judge people off the playoffs. Like, well, isn't that the whole, then why do we even conduct the playoffs? Let's just call it on New Year's Eve. Yeah. And we'll take a big vote. We'll do American Idol. We'll all vote on who we think is the best team. And then we don't have to, we can go about our business in January instead. But yeah. So yeah, I mean, when you, the stinker must be like Joe Flacco got one in my window. Outrageous. No.
Joe Flacco, Brad Johnson. I mean, we can go on and on, like for those two, Trent Dilfer. I mean, yeah, those guys all have one. They all have the same amount as Aaron Rodgers, which is a crime, which is why it should all be looked at in, like, all the data should be laying out on the table. You shouldn't just do the one. You got to look at everything. Because I do believe that, like, no quarterback has played better than Aaron Rodgers the last 3 years. The guy's touchdown to interception ratio is insane. Like, if anything, Aaron Rodgers makes a tremendous case for how bad his coach and the management fucked up his situation. Like, he's laying the, if he were a trial lawyer putting the Green Bay Packers administration and on trial, he'd have the evidence right there.
Seems like a guy who seems like he's reached a place though in life where he's one of those guys who would defend himself, you know, right? Like in a court of law against him. I don't know what you want to attribute it to, but I don't know if you know. I think that guy got a little weird.
He did get a little weird. I love him. I think he's but weird, but definitely like the vaccination thing like took him off in a direction where I was like, oh, man.
I like what he's making demands about like what he needs and everything while he's on his Hawaiian spring break and everything. Like, Tom Brady could do it at 45 because like that's all he does is think about football and work out and get ready for the next game and everything else. Like, I don't think the guy playing horse with horse fighting with his fiance against what's his name, the drummer from the drumming movie, whatever the hell that one was called.
The guy from what was the one
where the drumming movie
where he was deaf, where he was deaf?
No, the drumming movie where
oh my god, this is
J.K. Simmons is the music
J.K.
teacher.
Simmons, right.
That one, yeah, that was fantastic.
Starts with a W. Why can't I remember?
Whiplash. There we go. We got there.
I don't remember
guys.
Even what my point was, but anyway, came together kind of.
Horseplay.
All right, so tell me who you think, with your knowledge,
let's do this, and then we'll take a break. Right.
But with your knowledge of the NFL, and I know you have deep knowledge of it, who do you think? What are the teams that are on the precipice that will sort of make that, I don't call it the Cincinnati Bengal move, but like who is poised to break out? Are we looking at San Diego? All right, nice.
Buffalo.
LA Chargers. I'll still call them San Diego. They should have been all called the Southern California Chargers, and then you get the people coming up from San Diego.
That's right.
They should have put them in Orange County.
Put them in Orange County, and then you get the people driving up an hour and other people down there. That's what you should have done, but whatever. The LA Chargers of Los Angeles. Is it the Chargers? Is it Buffalo? Is it Buffalo?
It is
Buffalo?
The Chargers. For me, it's the Chargers. Now, I'll catch some flack and do all the time because I said a year ago it was going to be the Chargers going to the Super Bowl and they didn't on the, you know, the last game of the season in overtime.
Yeah.
They didn't make it, but really if they'd gotten in, they still would have been a scary out.
Scary. I mean,
the team that did get in was the Raiders and they almost beat Cincinnati if you'll remember that.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that team a lot, but it's just so loaded. Think about it's conceivable that the AFC East, the Jets, look like they're going to be good, but we don't know.
They will not be good.
They're not going to be great.
This is not a baseball situation where both the Yankees and the Mets are in first place right now. It's not going to happen. The Jets and the Giants, in my opinion, will, even if they have the pieces, will figure out a way to screw it up. But I do think I think I'm onto your line of thinking. The AFC is insane this year.
Well, I mean, what if Tua turns it around and starts to play well? They're loaded. They should be really good.
Agreed.
The Bills are obviously going to be great. Bills, you could make great. A case the Patriots will finish in last place in their division. The Chiefs are good, but the Raiders are real good now. They have Devontae Adams. They added some nice defensive pieces.
Yes.
The Chargers are loaded up, I feel like. It's conceivable that and the Broncos with Russell Wilson, obviously. You can make a case the Chiefs will finish in last in their division, and the Steelers will finish last in the AFC North. Shame the devil if it happens, but you really could see that. But to answer your question, I mean, with the Jets, it's hard to get excited, but that's what's fun about the draft is the space – between the draft and the start of the season. So you can get real delusional.
You can hype up.
Now.
You can hype
all
up.
Summer long. You can
the
get
season of hope. It's a season
you
of
can
hope.
You get wild. Yeah.
All right. Last question. I know we said that was it, but where does Baker Mayfield go? What do they do with this guy? I mean, is Deshaun Watson?
Poor dear.
I know. Is Deshaun Watson, is he really going to, Are they going to start that crazy Predator?
Can you? Well, I mean, can you imagine being Baker May? I think here's a conspiracy theory. They're all the rage these days, so I may as well have one too.
Jump in, go for it.
I think if you're Roger Goodell and all you hear about is that all the other owners are outraged that the Haslams gave this guy, any guy, but let alone Deshaun Watson with all the trouble around him, that they guaranteed him, what was it, $230 million? I mean, fully guaranteed. That doesn't happen if you're not aware. In pro football, they don't guarantee anybody that level of loot, let alone this creepo.
Yeah.
And so, but imagine being Baker Mayfield and you did what? But did you hear about him? Yeah, we did. Yeah, we heard. But yeah. I'm still here. Like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. But that's why we had to do it. That's why we
that's
had to.
That's how much they didn't like him.
How but where sad you would be if you're Baker. I bet he winds up with the Panthers. That's the one I've been saying for the last couple few months.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me that you would look at him. It's very weird how quickly collective opinion sort of shifts on something.
Yeah.
You know, I obviously don't root for Baker Mayfield, but
no.
You know, he did come in January into Heinz Field. This is a bum, cursed franchise.
Yeah.
Comes in to the big bully Steelers home stadium and beats them in a playoff game. That's the most embarrassing loss in Steelers history. But for the Browns, they move a year later. It's like, well, yeah, we can't keep this guy. And in the meantime, right, exactly. Matt Rhule down in Carolina probably can't afford like a 7-10 year again and then be like, but next year we're definitely, then we'll be mature. Then we'll be ripe and ready to go. I think they need somebody to step in that's better than Sam Darnold. It seems like Baker Mayfield. People have forgotten that he's not a top three quarterback, but he's top 18, right?
But the problem with Baker Mayfield is that he's not Ryan Tannehill in that he doesn't understand his role as he can't be just a facilitator game manager. That's not who he was. He was the gunslinger who left this school and was the walk-on at this school, who then was the gunslinger that got the Heisman Trophy, and then he's in the commercials of the thing. Like, Ryan Tannehill is like, let me just put my shotgun and leave it in my rental car. And then I'll do that. Like, he's just like, let me just hand this ball off to Derrick Henry and then get out of the way. And then I'll make five passes a game and do this, that, and the other. Maybe I'll have a good game every five games. And then I'll surprise some people. He like, Baker's not, I don't know
is
that
he's willing
become
to take on that role. And maybe he's been humbled into that. You never know.
Yeah, maybe he has. I mean, if he has, you certainly have weapons. You have
Christian McCaffrey.
And he's only got a couple more years of that. So,
got good. He'd be fine in Carolina in a relatively soft NFC. Listen, beggars can't be choosers, though. I suspect he'll jump at any team that wants him at this point because the alternative is, I mean, Watson's going to get suspended, so I have to tell you my conspiracy theory is, you know, they could conceivably. Maybe tomorrow. Who knows? Goodell will say we're shelving Deshaun Watson for six games. Bake, we still got you under contract. Imagine if they're like, we have to play you.
We'll take
it. What does he do? Does he have the devil in him? Is he willing to throw his own career away to shame the Browns for making him play in a game? That would be fascinating to watch. But if you're Goodell and everybody's super mad that you gave Deshaun Watson this level of bank, what you could do is send a message and say, like, we're doing it out of morality, but really it's to spite the Browns for giving a guaranteed contract, and just shelve them for the year. Then that sets up the best situation, which is, well, we can't let you go, Bake. You got
to
play.
So the best situation ever, and I know you would hate to see this, but let's say this is a rebuilding year for Pittsburgh. Okay, so let's just let Pickett do his thing, and Pittsburgh wins more games than you think they're going to win, and there's hope for the future. So I'm going to put that in your brain. The best would be that Baker Mayfield takes the Browns to the Super Bowl and wins, and Deshaun Watson is shelf for the year, and then what's going to happen? To me, that makes next year's offseason better than anything I've ever seen. Because
or he becomes the kid from the Yankees in the Bad News Bears, and they hike him the ball, and he just holds it and puts it in his hands and waits for everyone to just tackle him, throws it in his hand, and he's like, do it. Yeah. Come get me, Vic Morrow. Come tell me that I'm a bag, and then walks off the field with his mom.
There you go. All right, let's take a quick break. Dave Damashek is with us. Find out how you can support him on the other side of this break. This is View from the Cheap Seats. We got some great quick hits and a little Patreon story that we'll get into with him. All of this on the other side of the break.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We got Dave Damashek with us. We want to remind people, join our Patreon. We're doing cheaper seats. That's a super fun thing that we're doing before we get into what Dave's doing. We also want to mention we're going to be in Portland next Thursday night.
The 12th. And then that's one show at Portland Helium. And then the next two nights will be at the Crocodile, the famed Crocodile Rock Club in Seattle. We got two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. That place is awesome. Shows are amazing there. It's been renovated. Our really good friends have done great shows there, and they love the place. Let's sell it out. Let's see. If you go to superscholars.com, you can get those tickets there. And our reboot of Cheap Seats called the Nosebleeds for UFC Fight Pass is we've sort of been in the midst of editing those up, and we love how those shows are coming out. Six episodes. It'll drop this summer. We'll keep you guys informed, just giving you a little taste, letting you know it's going to be out there, and that's all good. Dave Damashek.
Good for you. That's giving the people what they want. People love it. To this day, I'm not telling you anything you guys don't know. People revere Cheap Seats, so I'm glad that you guys are keeping it alive there.
Thank you so much. And yes, I mean, the show's been, no new episodes have been made for over 15 years, and yet there's every week someone is like, hey, I want you to bring back that show. Well, we kind of are. We are in many ways. And what we've done is we've sort of bumped it up. It's like this version, the Nosebleeds that we're doing for UFC, is so fun. There are so many great cameos. John Hamm, Andy Richter, Kerry Kenny Silver, Lorraine Newman, Tony Hale, Rob Corddry. It's fun. It's really, really fun.
Name drops.
What can we do? And the lovely Dave Nickel, executive producing with us. He's a big fan of yours.
Yeah. Dave Nickel, executive produced it. You know, okay. Dave. So,
Dynamite fella.
He loves you. Damashek, where can people follow you, listen to you, all that stuff?
On the Extra Points Network with Cousin Sal, who you may know from The Kimmel Show and Amazing. Fox Sports and otherwise. Yep. Kevin Hench, a great comedy writer, been around forever.
One of the best joke writers, period, Kevin Hench. One of the best joke writers, period. He's so good at everything he does. Please tell him we said hello and that we love him.
Okay, I will, but I'm not going to tell him you said that. It might make his head big. He's so modest.
Don't inflate it. He's a very modest, very
modest. Yeah, we have a great time on the show that I'm doing with him, Minus Three. We do two episodes a week, but every Thursday we do an episode, Hench and I, and he's just hysterical. He really is fantastic. And so, yeah, give that a listen. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on Hench like you guys are. So Minus Three and Extra Points with Cousin Sal, both a lot of fun to do, and appreciate you checking them out.
I love it. All right, let's get into some quick hits, shall we? Let's rock that music. First of all, never walk your dog on a Scottish golf course unless you want to be attacked. Why are people walking dogs on golf? Like, you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Look, I get it. A Scottish golf course doesn't exactly look like Augusta. There's a lot of brush, and you're like, I don't know what I'm on the golf course.
Am I on the ninth hole, or am I just in like a weird park? I saw seven foxes just run by one through here. No, you're literally in the fairway, dumbass. This guy was walking, 49 years old, around our age, suffers serious head injuries in attack moments after a row with golfers as he walked your Scottish dog off the course. You don't need to get into a row with golfers. Here's the way it goes. I have two dogs. If I'm walking my dog in an area that someone's like, don't walk your dog there, whoops, sorry, didn't see that, thanks so much. Even if someone's being a dick, you're like, okay, asshole, I'm taking the dog out of here. That's it. You end it at that point. Like, why are you getting it? This is the thing. Why are people getting into fights, Dave Damashek?
It's there everywhere in the social media age. We then watch them, these fights, always. I mean, 100%. I don't mean 98% of these videos. 100% of them feature butt crack. I don't know why that's. I like that would be enough. Like I'm a man of peace to begin with. But I a fighter and I saw one of those, I'd be like, I don't want that captured on video for all of time. But they always do it, and they're always uncomfortable. You ever see yourself playing a sport on camp? You ever? Like, it's jarring.
Very
and it's tragic.
Jarring.
You're like, oh my god, I thought I was going three times that bad in a fight. With your toughness coming out? No,
I don't like it. So also, who picks a fight with golfers? To me, that is the...
Clubs. They're holding a weapon. They're literally holding the thing to beat you down with. And you got a leash and a dog.
It's like when NFL players take off their helmet to fight someone who's wearing a helmet. You're going to punch someone in their helmet. It's not going to hurt them at all. And then they can just whip it at you. I never understand that. And, you know, I mean, golf again... It is a genteel sport. Like, you shouldn't, unless you have a pit bull and you're ready to let him loose, I wouldn't walk your dog on a golf course. This is not a country club golf course. How did he get access?
You're right about that. I will say, I have a couple other fixes for golf, along with putting up your own money in these big match play tournaments. One is, I enjoy it. I've played golf for the last, 30 years or so.
Yeah.
Let's make it 12 holes. It's too, like, once you get to, like, 14, like, oh, my God, it's enough.
Six more, another hour and a half.
We get it. It's going on too long. And two, we need one tournament, just one, where you behave like a normal sports fan. Like, you should be allowed to be, like, the Caddyshack people, you know, where you're like, no, you should be able to do just this once to see what that looks like.
Okay, this is the waste management in Phoenix Open. You know, this is like, that open is crazy. That 16th hole.
Players get booed by like 20,000.
Oh, they do even before in their backswings? You're like,
not in the backswing.
Okay. So they're in the backswing.
Our buddies at golf, Country Club Adjacent. I don't know if you know those cats. They're great, great podcasters.
Check those guys out. They're amazing.
They have on their Instagram and on their TikTok the back off challenge, where they try and they roast you on the tee from there, and they try to get you to back off with comedy. And their jokes are, they said to me, you look like you're an accountant for elephants. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but it definitely forced me to pull my ball to the left.
Yeah, they pulled the ball. And they told me, you look like a cop. And then I responded to them, I look like both the cop and the predator he's busting. You know, I got him back.
By roasting then you turn yourself.
And then you hit the ball right into them. That's what makes
They're right. So good.
All Novak Djokovic is not helping himself out. First of all, he won't get vaccinated. And we're only – that. Like, we should be talking about that. He's tennis Kyrie Irving. Now this. Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic criticized Wimbledon's decision to exclude players from Russia and Belarus from taking part in this year's tournament following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The two tennis greats said Sunday that Wimbledon had acted unfairly. I think it's unfair of my Russian tennis mates, my colleagues. It's not their fault of what's happening in the moment of the war, Nadal said, as a 21-time Grand Slam winner said in Spain.
So there is some truth to that. I will agree that you are punishing player, but what do you think, Dave?
This is part of it. You, that as a player, you say to yourself, if you are a Russian star, you're just a star. This is where you as a player say, I cannot get behind what my country is doing. I will move to another country, and guess what? That country will take you in with open arms, and you can start playing for Argentina, and they'll be ecstatic that you're with Argentina. Come be a player, like, be a player in America. Be a Russian player who came to America. We haven't had a great American tennis player since, you know, where are you, Jimmy Arias? I'll take a
Michael
Chang. He was
Chang.
Our last one.
Michael Chang.
Not Jimmy Arias. But I can't even remember. Andy Roddick is the last American that's won a Grand Slam.
Arias. I didn't expect a name drop like that. Yeah, I'm with you in spirit. That, I mean, first of all, good thing that they don't apply that standard to the NHL, or our playoffs, our beloved playoffs, would be canceled. Woo. We would be out there. We might get, we might have to go play between the pipes or something if that were the case.
Yeah.
I just, like, it's one thing to say, a lot of people are on Ovechkin. Why doesn't he say something? Because Sasha, Aunt Sasha, and everybody else back still in Russia are like, what the hell are you doing, millionaire? We live here. Now we have to deal with you. You know, you're shooting your mouth off.
Or, or use it as an opportunity to be like, bring our asses over. Bring us over.
Right. Ooh. First, you're too cheap to get us over to the promised land. Now this, you jerk.
That's going to come about that. All right, finally, you don't make an offhanded remark to Olin Krutz, apparently. The one Chicago Bear employee found that out the hard way. Oh, also, don't grab someone's throat when they make an offhanded remark. There's that, too. One Chicago Bears legend is out of a job after an alleged violent incident with a fellow employee. Jeff Agrist of the Chicago Sun-Times reported that the retired former Bears center Olin Krutz Which to me, Olin Chris, doesn't that sound like Ogden?
It sounds like the place. No, it sounds like the place you take pictures when you're too cheap to go to Olin Mills.
Where'd you get those pictures taken of the kids? We went over to Olin Chris.
Olin Chris.
They really grab you by the neck there, don't they? They grabbed us with the neck by charging us for extra prints.
Olin Mills. Olin Mills charges double there, and I don't know why. I mean, I was treated so nicely at Olin Chris. You know, they really Kruitz. Care.
He'd been an analyst for Chicago sports media startup CHGO, grabbed the neck of coworker Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, Hodge Hogue, in an incident on Monday. Kruitz reportedly did so in response to a flippant remark made by Hogue during a staff meeting at CHGO's West Loop office. If you are getting that fired up,
off a flippant remark
in a staff meeting. I mean, what was it, a remark about the bagels? Was it a remark about how leave a little for everybody else, Kruitzy? I mean, what happened that caused him to
was it the double negative in the Super Bowl shuffle?
We're not here to cause no trouble.
You are here to cause trouble.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it couldn't be the first time somebody pointed out weird name for a baby, Olin. Yeah, he's looking a little cutie. What's his name? Olin.
Olin. E. All right.
You know. Fine. Listen. It's the equivalent of the guy on the airplane with Mike Tyson. What the hell are you doing? Why are you sassing off to a professional offensive lineman for? And by the way, now everybody in that boardroom meeting knows what Olin Kruitz's butt crack looks like.
That's right.
Or the other guy.
Because he got into a fight and he lost the top of his pants on that thing. It's crazy. All right, there you go. That is the show. Our Patreon fans, we've got a special. We're going to talk about Russell Westbrook's Met Gala outfit with the great Dave Damashek. For everybody else, we're going to take a break and come back with a voicemail. Dave Damashek, you are fantastic. I'm so happy
love you
joined us on the podcast. Stick around for this extra story.
And a crazy voicemail we got at the end of this show.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate you.
Thank you, fellas. You're the best. You're as kind. I say it every time I'm on because it always has to, in case there's any new listener, as nice a guys, as successful as they are, they're even nicer people, and I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
And that's the word from everybody who has ever known the Sklar brothers. There's all the cynicism that you hear. Kevin Hench, they even complimented Kevin Hench. What
even
more
complimented
can you
say? Kevin Hench.
Look there what we did. Look at how we did it.
Look at that. All right, we'll be right back with more View from the Cheap Seats right after this.
It's Illmatic. Yeah. It's Illmatic. One time for your mom, one time. Yeah, whatever. One time for your mom, one time. Yo, whatever.
Damashek.
Shecky.
I love him. Shecky. Follow everything that he does. Listen to his podcast. Follow him.
Support him.
Support that guy because he is just fantastic and always is like, I'll come on and whatever you guys need. I love a guy who's like, whatever you guys need. He's just that guy. All right. We have a very, very special voicemail. I'm not going to give you any intro or anything. I'm not going to lead up to it right now. I'm just going to play it for you. Sometimes surprise is the best way to go.
Hey, Randy and Jason. It's Ozzie Guillaume. I'm calling you because I was recently out at the Crosstown Series between the White Sox and the Cubs. And I forgot about one thing, that this game was being played at Wrigley Field, and that is the worst place in the world. I don't want to ever go to a place like that again, because I would rather be in a prison in Alcatraz or in where's the place that Johnny Cash was doing that from? Folsom. I'd rather be in Folsom Prison Blue than be at Wrigley Field, because that place stinks. I would rather be in Guantanamo Bay, you know, being tortured because that is an old stadium. That's the oldest one. If it's not the oldest one, then it's Fenway. But both of these places, they smell like pee. You know, they smell like pee. And I don't like that. Baseball should be beautiful and luxurious. You know, it should be like a nice that you should be able to go to like the new stadium, like the Yankee Stadium or the new Shea Stadium or anywhere else. But these old stadiums like that, they smell like pee. Anyway, give me a call back, you guys.
All right, there you go. That's a show. Come see us next weekend, Portland on Thursday night at Helium. One night, one show only. Saturday and Sunday in Seattle. We'll be there Friday night and Saturday night.
sorry, Friday night and Saturday night in Seattle. Two shows only each night, so that's four total. Come see us, man. We're going to be at the Legendary Crocodile. It's going to be a blast. We can't wait to see you guys out in the world.
You can get your tickets at supersklars.com. Just go to our tour section. You can click right on tickets and buy the tickets there. We'd love to see you. Want to sell those shows out. Can't wait. We've got really good merch and just excited. We'll see you guys there, Punch of Waterfall, and we'll see you next week.
A podcast network.